Again, my name is David Creel, and I have been a missionary with Far East Broadcasting Company since 1990. I served on a little island called Saipan out in the Western Pacific for about 18 years. In that location, we have a radio station that broadcasts the gospel into many locations such as Russia, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Mongolia, different places, and as I said, served there for about 18 years. I felt led by the Lord to ask for a change of ministry assignment about 5 years ago so that I could come back and help care for my aging parents. And at the present time now, I travel periodically building Christian radio stations overseas. Before I get any further, I want to introduce a special guest that's with me this morning. My girlfriend, Vicky Planta. Vicky is from the Philippines and is currently serving as a missionary with an organization called CFAT, Servants in Faith and Technology, in Lineville, Alabama. And Vicky has also served as a missionary in Bolivia and also in China. And so she was very interested to be a part of this worship service today to be with you here. And I welcome her to be with us here this morning. You notice our scripture was from Romans 10, 13, and 14. And I'd like to just read that again. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'd like for us to take a little journey in our imagination this morning. Suppose for a moment that you were not born in Atlanta, or perhaps you were born in China or wherever you were born. Suppose that you were born in what we call a closed country, a country perhaps like Myanmar or North Korea or perhaps parts of China, where one-on-one evangelism is not allowed and where church attendance is either severely restricted or is not allowed, and where missionaries are not allowed to come in and share the gospel. How would you hear about Jesus? You ever thought about that? How would you hear? There are many, many people in the world today that have not once heard the name of Jesus Christ and the story of Jesus that you and I are so familiar with today. I'd like to share with you this morning a little bit about how people in closed countries are coming to know about Jesus. Continuing in your imagination now, remember you're born in not in Atlanta, but in one of these closed countries. And let's suppose you sit down with your family for the evening meal, and after supper you turn on the radio, shortwave radio, so you can hear uncensored news from the outside world. You've learned that you can get reliable news from sources like Voice of America or BBC World Service. You found that these are more reliable than your government-controlled media. And while tuning around on the radio, you happen to hear a group of people singing a song in your own dialect, and this immediately grabs your attention. You see, the government station only broadcasts in the national language, but this program is in your mother tongue, in your own first language, which grabs your attention. Soon an announcer who is also speaking in your own language comes on and begins speaking about how someone named Jesus has changed his life and given him new meaning and purpose. You continue listening with interest, although you're not really quite sure who this Jesus is or how he made such an impact in the announcer's life. The program continues with another song. The music is familiar, it's typical for your culture, but But Hest seems to have a positive meaning, unlike many of the songs that you hear on the government station. You're so intrigued by the program that you tune in the next night, and as time goes by, you become a regular listener to Far East Broadcasting Company's evening broadcasts. As time goes by, you come to understand that Jesus is God's Son, and He came to the earth in the form of a man. But He was no ordinary man. He did something that no one else has ever been able to do. He lived a perfect life, never doing anything wrong. He never lied, never cheated his neighbor. He also had miraculous powers, healing many people from their sickness and disease, and even raising someone named Lazarus from the dead. One night while listening to the broadcast, you learn that Jesus was executed by the religious leaders of his day. How could this happen, you wonder? Why would anyone want to kill such a good man? The program closes with the usual music, but the question of why Jesus was killed continues to trouble your mind. As if the announcer could hear your troubling questions, he closes the broadcast by encouraging listeners to tune in tomorrow night when the announcer will share the encouraging, exciting ending to the story of Jesus. And he encourages you to tune in tomorrow night. The next day at work seems like it'll never end as you work through your work day and anxiously await the time when you can go home and have supper and tune into the broadcast of FEBC to hear how the story ends. The time of the broadcast finally arrives, and by this time your whole family has become regular listeners and has gathered around the radio for the evening broadcast. During the course of the broadcast, the announcer explains that Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven. He took the blame and punishment for our sins. And then the announcer tells the marvelous conclusion to the story of Jesus, how He rose from the dead after 3 days and later went back to heaven. The announcer then explains that although Jesus is not physically with us in an earthly body now, He is still at work in the world today in the hearts and lives of those who've given their lives to Him. And at the conclusion of the program, the announcer invites the listeners to give their lives to Christ. Looking around the room, you see tears in the eyes of your spouse and your children. And that night, you and your whole family ask Jesus for forgiveness, inviting Him to be Lord of your lives. That's kind of a typical story that we hear from listeners to our broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed that story about how many people in what we normally think of as closed countries are coming to hear about Jesus Christ. And sometimes this happens too in remote areas where people cannot hear the gospel through conventional means. The organization that I mentioned, Far East Broadcasting Company, was founded in 1945 by Dr. Robert Bowman and William Broger and John Broger. It was established as an evangelical interdenominational ministry committed originally to taking Christ to the world by radio. And now new media and other means are used as well. To accomplish the goal of taking Christ to the radio, to the world by radio, FEBC built some very powerful shortwave radio stations in strategic places in the world like Saipan and the Philippines and Korea. We also operate local radio stations now wherever they are allowed in places such as Russia, which years ago we never could have built a Christian station in Russia, also in Indonesia, in Cambodia, and we're even doing some Christian broadcasts within China now over local radio stations. FEBC broadcasts in over 130 different languages. In a moment, I'm going to share a video with you that will tell you more about the ministry, but I want to give you a little bit of an update. We'll do that at the close. After I've shown the video, I want to give you a little bit of an update. The The video is going to mention the number of responses that we receive each year from listeners. And I'll just give you a little hint ahead of time. That number has increased since this video was made. So at this point, I'd like to go ahead and share the video about Far East Broadcasting and our worldwide ministry.
This is the story of the Far East Broadcasting Company. It is the story of how God has used us to accomplish His divine plan to bring people all over the world to Himself. FEBC has been one of His chosen instruments. It is an ongoing story as we adapt to new opportunities to reach even more people and prepare for a future God has in store for us. More than anything, FEBC is the story of changed lives through Christ for God's glory, with millions of individual listener stories that encourage and inspire. In the highlands where China, Vietnam, Thailand, and Laos converge, live the Hmong people. Known for their simple lifestyle and strong sense of identity, the Hmong in Vietnam made international headlines when 300,000 converted from spirit worship to the Christian faith in the late 1980s. Reliable sources confirm that their conversion was the result of listening to Christian radio broadcasts through FEBC. The broadcaster they called their pastor was John Lee, a Hmong himself whose family was impacted by broadcasts from Manila while he was yet a boy. He visited Hmong villages several times to meet his listeners and to minister to them personally. They were his flock.
From the beginning, FEBC's broadcasts have centered on God's love and forgiveness. Coupled with our tremendous presence on the ground and driven by a compassion for people as God opens opportunities.
In March 2011, an 8.9 earthquake leveled a large section of Japan and spawned tsunami waves that decimated entire towns. A nuclear power plant experienced a devastating meltdown.
Looks like some kind of plant there.
Almost 16,000 were reported dead. Yet God used this disaster to activate the church in Japan to reach out to victims, and FEBC was there to show the great love of God by lending a helping hand.
Our listeners have great confidence in the FEBC, and they keep listening, and listening is kind of a support for their spiritual.
Prayers were mobilized through FEBC broadcasts worldwide. More than six decades of engaging human needs with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ and the transforming power of God's Word have not changed the core values of FEBC. Close to God, close to people. Christ to the World by radio has been, from its founding days, both a call and a message. In 1945, God led Robert Bowman, John Broger, and William Roberts to establish FEBC. Their mission was to use radio to proclaim salvation through Christ and a life of hope for men and women throughout Asia.
From the beginning, we were driven by two things: a passion to obey God and compassion for people who didn't know Christ. Now, we knew that this was the essence of the Great Commission, and we also knew there was no turning back once we put our hearts together. We had a few ideas about how we might do it, but God had other ideas. He first showed us that we couldn't do it and that He would do it Himself through us.
In 1946, the founders went to China to launch their first broadcast. But within months, the communist movement, powerful and feared, swept through the country, forcing all mission work to shut down. Their next choice was the Philippines. Once in the Philippines, they quickly discovered it was the ideal place from which to broadcast into China. Thus, God guided the founders of FEBC. In 1959, this group of British supporters took up the task of establishing a station in the Seychelles from which they could broadcast into India, and then Africa, and the Middle East. Over the last 66 years, God's Word has been transforming individuals, families, even entire communities and people groups. Even in the face of persecution, God was not restricted. He used radio to make His glory known to the people of China, Russia, Myanmar, Indonesia, India, Yemen, and many more, including forgotten minorities. All of them have been able to hear about the greatness of our God by radio. Today, FEBC has become a truly multinational ministry with 27 member countries, broadcasting in 130 languages. Our programs potentially reach half of the world's population, many of whom live in the 1040 window, a section of the world most resistant to the good news.
The growth of the church in the 1040 window can be attributed to a significant extent to the preaching of God's Word on AM, FM, and shortwave radio by FEBC, FIBA, and other radio ministries.
The house church in China not only survived persecution during the Cultural Revolution, but even grew strong underground, largely because of the biblical teaching heard over FEBC. Bible readings at dictation speed, Bible studies, and the worship service.
From the islands of Okinawa, Seychelles, and Saipan, gospel messages carried by shortwave touched millions. Today, the message of the love of God continues to flow out from Bukawe and Iba in the Philippines through shortwave and numerous other AM, FM, and shortwave stations. With the advancement of the internet and other new media communication channels, FEBC is now actively remaking ourselves to take full advantage of these new, exciting opportunities. The FEBC staff has grown in number to about 1,000 worldwide, many of them speaking to their own people in their heart language. And listeners responded. More than 1.25 million responses were received in 2010 alone, many of them sharing stories of transformed lives. For the past 20 years, we have seen a consistent shift from traditional response channels, such as letters, phone calls, or personal visits, to more contemporary means. Text messages, email, posts on social networking sites, comments and discussions in uploaded stories and images. In 2011, FEBC's China Ministry's online e-magazine, Embrace a Happy Life, has recorded over 500,000 downloads in the first year of this new distribution channel.
Close to the listener has been our watchword for many years. We see this through their culture, thought patterns, beliefs, and interests. And now that we have an opportunity with mobile devices and social networking, we can genuinely get close to our listener.
Increasingly, the younger generation is not turning to radio, but rather to new media to learn more about their world. Is God providing new opportunities for FEBC to reach a larger audience? Is this a picture of the future He has for our mission to bring people to Christ? God asked Moses, "What do you have in your hands?" The same question can be asked of us. What tools are FEBC using that are most effective in bringing Christ to the world? In the end, it is not about FEBC or the resources we use. It is about our great God who has entrusted His people with the mission to build His kingdom. From every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and every people group who will bow down in worship before Him.
Thank you. I hope that gives you a little better idea of the ministry of FEBC and how the Lord is using radio and new media to reach out to a lost world, many of whom have no other opportunities for hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the updates I wanted to give you, recently compiled statistics show that in 2012, FEBC received a record high of almost 2 million responses. That's letters, emails, texts, phone calls, and visits. That's a growth over 40% over 2011 when we received 1.36 million responses. In addition, there were 8 million interactions via websites, blogs, and other social media. So we just praise God for what He's doing today. I want to share with you a couple of other things. They didn't share a lot of personal listener letters or testimonies in the video. I'd like to share with you this morning, this is absolutely my favorite letter that FEBC ever received from a listener. This comes from a little boy in Mongolia. And this little boy listened to FEBC's shortwave broadcasts. We now have stations actually in Mongolia, but this was written in the days when all we had was shortwave. Of course, I don't read Mongolian, so this had to be translated into English for me. And our translator wrote the following preface to the letter. He says, God surely watches over our listeners and all of us with infinitely personal care. Miraculously, this letter from a 13-year-old boy in Mongolia reached us in our La Mirada, California office, addressed as follows. Now, picture this. This is the only address that was on the envelope. It had the programmer's name, like David Creel, Box 1, USA. That's all the address that the letter had on it. But we serve a mighty God that made sure that that letter came to our address, which is Box 1, La Mirada, California, 90637. But God made sure that even although the letter had on it Box 1, USA, that it reached our headquarters. This little boy wrote and said, thank you for your broadcasts. Because of them, I believed in our Lord. I listened to them constantly and liked them very much. You once said that you believed in the Lord at the age of 14. I am 13 years old, and as much as I know, in our school, there is no one else who believes in God. In my family, both my father and mother are atheists. This makes it so difficult to share my faith with anyone. In a broadcast, you mentioned that you can send us spiritual literature. I ask you to send me a Bible. May the Lord remain with you. Amen. And it was signed by the little boy. We receive thousands upon thousands of letters just like that from listeners around the world who many times accidentally tune into our broadcast. But we know it's not an accident. It's God's providence that people are tuning in and hearing the Word of God. As I mentioned to you earlier, about 5 years ago, I had a change in ministry assignment. And one of the things that I'm primarily involved in now is building Christian radio stations in countries where we can do that. I've built stations thus far in Zambia, Albania, Malta, Paraguay, Indonesia, 3 solar-powered stations in Indonesia, in remote places, and in Belize. And I've also worked to do the engineering work and ordering of equipment for such places as Haiti, Peru, Greenland, and Mongolia. I've got a little toy to show you this morning I brought with me. This is one of the devices that we bring into remote areas where people oftentimes cannot read and oftentimes where they have no access to the gospel. This is a little solar-powered preteen radio. So this can be distributed in places where there's no electricity. And it has batteries inside of it that recharge from the solar panel. So this can be run for many, many years. You put it out in the sun for a few hours, and it'll run for about a week on the charge. And the kind of neat thing is, it doesn't have a tuning knob on it. It just has an off-on switch, because it's pre-tuned to the Christian radio station. So all they can listen to is one station, the Christian station. This one, I'll turn it on, you'll hear the static. It's tuned to a station in Alabama, not to one here in Georgia. But this allows many people to hear the gospel that would have no other means of hearing. And it's also great for people that are illiterate, people that cannot read. In Colombia, we have dropped over 100,000 of these radios all across Colombia by parachute. We have a partner there, Rustin Dahl, who goes in, flies over areas where, jungle areas where the missionaries can't go in easily because of the civil war that's going on in Colombia. And we drop a little box that has a radio, and also it'll have a little New Testament in it for those who can read, and some Christian literature. And so this is another kind of unique way that we're finding to broadcast the gospel. And the newer models of this radio have a built-in MP3 player in them that allows the entire Bible in the language of where they're being distributed. So these, again, are just some of the tools. We've distributed now almost 1 million of these worldwide. And research tells us that between 10 and 20 people will listen to one radio. We've had reports of people taking these, they've got a headphone jack on them. People will take these and connect them to a loudspeaker where an entire village can hear. And so the 100,000 radios, or almost 1 million radios that we have distributed now, are reaching between 10 and 20 million people worldwide with the gospel. So God is using different technologies, but technology is really not what it's about. What it's about is fulfilling the Great Commission. And I know you've heard these words before, but I want to close this morning by reading the words of the Great Commission to you. If you have a Bible with you and you want to turn and look with me at this scripture, I'll give you a moment to do that. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I'll give you a moment to turn there. It's always one of my pet peeves, I guess, when a preacher gives the scripture and then doesn't give you time to look it up. So I'm going to give you a moment there to look for it. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We read there, "Go there and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let me remind you that these were Jesus' final words before ascending to heaven. And this is a commandment, not a suggestion. At the exit of a church parking lot that I spoke to a while back, I saw a sign. And the sign read, "You are now entering the mission field." I love that. I love that sign. I love that statement. We must all do whatever we can to see that all the world has the opportunity to hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I've told you this morning, of one way or a few avenues that God is using, radio and new media, to share the love of Christ with others, there are many, many other ways of sharing Christ, both here in Atlanta, throughout Georgia, and ultimately around the world. I know that your church offers many opportunities to plug in and into evangelism and share Christ with others. And I would just like to close this morning by encouraging you to think seriously about these words of Scripture, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I'm a missionary, but we're all missionaries. We're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others in whatever way we can around this world. Again, I want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and share with you. In closing, I'd like to encourage you, just outside the doors, I have a table set up with some literature on it that will tell you more about the ministry of FEBC. and the associate ministry that builds the little radios, Galcom International. Please take some of that literature. One of the things I have to do as a missionary is raise my own support. If you're interested in that, I do have prayer cards available and also a little sheet where you can sign up for my newsletter. I can send that to you through traditional mail or by email. But the main thing I want to share with you this morning again is to remember that we are all called to do whatever we can to share the love of Christ with others around the world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today for the love of Christ that has been extended toward us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have had of hearing your word and for sharing with us the love of Christ. Lord, we know that many places around the world have not had the opportunity of hearing about Jesus yet. We pray, Lord, that you would burden our hearts to share the gospel by either participating in prayer or through giving or using the outreaches of this church or helping FEBC and Galcom or other similar ministries to reach out with the love of Christ and share him even with our neighbor across the street or around the world. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, to be an obedient church, and to share your word as you give opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the mercy that you've extended toward us. Help us to do whatever we can to extend that same love, grace, and mercy to those next door and those around the world. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.